Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely crushed.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Let's go for a little ride.
It is The Drive with Say and Piper. I am Lon Say, Derek Piker. Piper, what? Piker. I gave you a new
Piker,
one.
Piker, yeah.
You're like the new, you're kind of the mix between the Rutgers coach and a co-host on a radio show now, Piker. Derek Piper, Trevor Belise here as well. We're going to hear from Jeremy Warner coming up at the bottom of the hour. A lot of stuff going on, and I want to start with one of those for Illinois football. So we'll talk to Jeremy about that and his initial thoughts on how Brett Bielema has kind of hit the ground running in this staff. So we'll visit with Jeremy at 4:30. We got some Trent Frazier audio coming up at 5:05. We'll go around the world of Big Ten basketball. Illinois, of course, hosting Penn State tonight, 7:30, Big Ten Network. There's three Big Ten games tonight, and that is one of them. Of course, Illinois has already beaten Penn State, so this would be a nice little get-right game to get back going. Before we dive into basketball, our guy is coming back on that defensive line, and I think now everybody on that defensive line is coming back in Illinois football. Roderick Perry made the announcement today that he's coming back. Derek, what does that mean to this team?
It's really important. It's the guy that you would have circled probably on that defensive line. I know Owen Carney, we talked quite a bit about him yesterday and the fact that he had five and a half sacks last year, but Roderick Perry in the middle, you know how important a good defensive tackle is to stopping the run, and you think about, I mean, we've talked ad nauseum about the Big Ten West and what Wisconsin wants to do, and Iowa, Northwestern.
They don't hide it, do they?
No, they don't. They don't. And Brett Bielema knows that's a huge part of getting the job done. So for him to come back, sixth year in college football, and really get a chance to show some more tape, and you know, this is a guy that we talked about going into the year. I think it was Phil Steele had him as the highest-rated Big Ten defensive tackle prospect, which says a lot.
No doubt.
So to have him back on that line is important. More experience. And, yeah, stop the run.
Amen. I think there's a lot of these Illini guys that are returning that's probably the right thing to do. In other words, I'm not sure they were going to hear their name in the seven-round draft. Who knows if they hook on as a free agent? That's always possible. So for these guys to come back and get another season under their belt, kind of a new look of a new coaching staff, maybe they can learn a few more, you know, answers to the questions of what they have in terms of bettering their play and getting to the next level. I think Roderick Perry is not one of those. I feel like he would have heard his name in this NFL draft from, like you said, Phil Steele and everything you read in terms of him being a guy that would be coveted a little bit with regards to a defensive lineman and a guy that can kind of stuff that middle, if you will. So this is kind of big in that regard, in the sense that you're getting someone back that probably made the decision to not, you know, almost like forego the NFL draft one more year to learn. This one, to me, is even more impactful because of that. And I understand because of the position, you've got to stop the run. That's huge. Maybe he looks at this with what Brett Bielema or why can't I think of the defense? Ryan Walters is going to run. But I think that's impactful, and that's big for Illinois, knowing that a guy that probably could have heard his name is still going to come back, and that's huge.
Yeah, he was all Big Ten honorable mention. Six games, 17 tackles, 2.5 for loss, 2 sacks. I know that you're not necessarily thinking of, I mean, unless you're Aaron Donald, to play the defensive tackle position and get a bunch of sacks. It's more about stuffing the run. And, yeah, if you can get that pressure up the middle, you cause the quarterback to to go outside, and that's where Carney or Isaiah Gay will be waiting for you. So, yeah, to have someone that already had some NFL conversations around him be able to come back. And look, the Big Ten is a great opportunity to put some film together against other guys that are – NFL caliber, so that's it makes sense for him, and obviously makes sense for Illinois.
I think there's one guy that would say it, but wouldn't it be funny if one of these guys just came out and said, I just want to go to Dublin, Ireland. I just want to go to Ireland and visit Ireland before, because how many times are you going to get to do that in your life? Of course, there is one dude that probably is biting at the chance to do that, but listen, I'm excited. I'm excited to get these guys back. We've said it over and over that it was a good time to make the coaching change, and now Brett Bielema can kind of, I don't want to say hit the ground running, but certainly he's going to have depth and experience, and that's the big one. He's going to have depth, maybe not as much depth, but more than he would have if these guys would have left, but the experience part of that he's going to be able to go into year one with the chance to win games, and that's big for a coach who, in the past, we've seen plenty. Zook, I think, Turner, I think, was it Beckman? Didn't they all go 0-8 or Love? No, I think Lovey won a couple of games. So to have the experience back, that's got to be huge.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It raises your floor of what you can be able to do. And I know that we went into last season clearly with some decently high expectations, especially in terms of Illinois football. And you lose Jake Hansen, Milo Eifler, not as big of a loss. But really, Jake Hansen, Josh and Matt Torbebe
yes.
are really big ones. But other than that, And Kendrick Green.
Oh, by the way.
So there are some big ones in there.
Let's totally
be honest,
agree.
But there are quite a few veterans. You know, 4 out of 5 starters back on the offensive line. You look at the defensive line, what you bring back. Some help in the secondary with Tony Adams deciding to come back. So there are pieces there to have some success. And now we'll see if this coaching staff can elevate that and take advantage of it.
And I know Illinois looking at a secondary position guy from Alabama who would come in and certainly help. You've already added C.J. Hart as a transfer. He's a linebacker. Max Rosenthal, kind of that H-back position, if you will. And then Chase Hayden, who's a running back. So he's added that. Here's what I want to know. Casey Washington also announced that he's going to enter the portal. Now, we've seen plenty of guys already on Illinois, not plenty, but a couple that have entered the portal and then decided to come back. But that wide receiver room, and I credit Jason on the College of Aces text line, he said, I'm thrilled about Rod, devastated about Casey. The wide receiver room isn't looking good. And it's true. So I think the next thing I want to hear from this Illinois coaching staff is a couple of transfer wide receivers. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call for sure. And we saw clearly Smalling wasn't on the team last year, and he wasn't a guy that, as an upperclassman, playing at the level that we necessarily expected. But with him gone, and then you lose Bebe, and now Casey Washington, who had some experience, did some nice things, particularly as a freshman.
Right.
You need some playmakers. You need some speed, some ability to make plays down the field. And I know Brian Hightower is more of a possession guy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not someone who's going to run past you, but can high point and maybe catch those 10, 15-yard passes, slants and whatnot. But it'd be nice to have some more playmaking there, some more firepower in that receiving room.
All right, so that is Illinois football. Again, we'll visit with Jeremy Warner at the bottom of the hour to get more on that. Now we focus on basketball. Trent Frazier.
I think we're in a great spot. You know, this happened last year. You know, we lost 3-4 in a row. You know, and we had to figure out, you know, what we wanted our season to be, whether that's, you know, continue to lose, you know, put our head down or, you know, be the team we wanted to be and, you know, compete for, you know, a Big Ten title. So I think everyone's on the same, you know, same path right now. We're good. You know, we're not going to dwell on, you know, the losses. Did we slip up, you know, lose those ones? Yes. But, you know, we got to have that next game mentality, you know, just come out ready to play every night and be better, you know, just be better for each other, be better for the next man up. You know, just help each other out and just play hard for 40 minutes.
That is Trent Frazier. You're going to hear more from him next hour or maybe a little bit this hour as well. But there you go. I mean, his thought basically on this team, his mindset and where they're at right now, they're going to put those losses behind them. I think maybe sometimes, Derek, it is easier for players to put that behind them because they're the ones that take the court tonight. We, as fans, and even coaches who have a lot of sleepless nights, we're probably the ones that dwell on those losses more than anything. If he's right, if he speaks the truth, which I have no reason not to trust Trent Frazier on that, then that's the way you got to go, right? You got to stick and you got to look at Penn State as a fresh start tonight. Let's get rolling. Let's get things going the right way.
I think so. I think you do want to balance it a little bit. You don't want them to forget what went wrong against Maryland, what went wrong against Ohio State. You kind of want that to inspire them to be a sticking point in their mind that, hey, against Ohio State, we didn't defend nearly as well as we can. We made a lot of mistakes. And early on against Penn State, we saw it, you know, in, I say State College, I think technically it's University Park, whatever. Out there
we know. Happy
on the
Valley.
East Coast, Happy Valley. You let Penn State get up 19-4. Yeah. And there's just, when you let down defensively and you let a team like that in particular that's very streaky offensively, when you let them get some easy looks and easy shots, all of a sudden they can be hanging around in a game that they necessarily probably shouldn't be. So for Illinois, I want them to act like these last two losses bothered them, but at the same time, not to necessarily knock their confidence. They're saying the right things. I'm sure that Brad got their attention. You would hope that he got their attention on Sunday. And this is as outside of Nebraska, this is as good of a get-right spot as you can have, playing at home, playing against a Penn State team that's 0-4 in the league, and get it done. That's as simple as that.
Well, and Penn State, not exactly a team that should scare you. Like you just said, you should be able to get this done. And if I'm Illinois, I'm ready to play games. I mean, you had Nebraska that was canceled. And in between then, you've got a couple of losses. Now you know Michigan State this weekend has been postponed. I keep saying canceled. Have been postponed. They're going to try to make these up, obviously. And then, you know, your next assignment would be Iowa. And in between that, you only have this game against Penn State. I bet these guys are ready to play games and maybe not so much see Brad and all the coaches in practice. I used to hate practice, but I'm sure they're ready to play. Let's go.
That's a fair point. And from what I had heard a little bit last night, Sunday's practice was it was long. It was hard. And I'm sure they're ready just to throw it up in an actual game situation. In Penn State, you can't totally sleep on them. They went to Michigan, only lost by 4 points. They went to Indiana, lost in overtime.
Sure.
Like we said, the Illinois game, they were up big early. They can't – now, there's some things you dive into. They can't combat Kofi, and that's what allowed Illinois to really make up that 15-point deficit in a hurry because they just don't have the size inside. But you don't want to take them lightly at the same time. I just would want to – similar to – second half against Northwestern, know you're the better team.
Yes.
Put the gas down early and don't let up till the very end.
That mindset and that practice Sunday, we're not going to hear what happened there. It sounds like Derek might have a couple, but he'll have to throw that out off the air possibly to Trevor and I. But for this team to get things done, and you know, they're, like I said, they're on that court with the coaching staff. So what has that message been?
This coaching staff do an unbelievable job, you know, putting everything in front of us for, you know, preparation for the games, you know, our tasks and our game plan. You know, we start 3 days before, two, three days before, you know, scouting. And we do a tremendous amount of hours, you know, of breakdowns on what they do. And it's if you're actually a player, you would see, you know, everything, you know, Chen, you know, Coach O, Gent, and they say if you go under a ball screen, the guy's, you know, he's shooting 98% of his shots are threes, and you go under, he will make it. And, you know, those are mistakes on the players, you know. I put that on us, me and my other teammates, you know, because we're not following the scouting report or we're making mistakes. So, you know, the coaching staff do an unbelievable job of putting everything out in front of us. We just got to go out there and follow the game plan, and it's that simple. So, like I said, I think it's more of us. I mean, like I said, I mean, it's a simple question is the coaching staff put it all out there for us, game plan and the scouting reports and everything. And we just got to go out there and play hard with, you know, extra amount of effort and just play for 40 minutes.
Love hearing Trent. You and I were just laughing. If he comes back next year, which he would have the ability to do due to the pandemic, he would totally enter the Jess Settles realm of you've been here for 5 years or for 15 years. I mean, because the impact he made as a freshman and then has been here ever since, and now he's a senior, and now all of a sudden teams are probably like, wait, Frazier's still playing? And then if you came back next year, it'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This team dominated Penn State after that stretch. It was 19-4 Penn State. You had left to head somewhere. I don't recall where. You had to start a blog, and I was kind of finishing up the show. It was near Christmas. And the next thing I know, I'm doing a couple of things. I look up at the TV, and it's 19-4. And I had this sinking feeling like, don't, no, do not do this. But ever since then, when it comes specifically to Penn State, after that 19-4 stretch, I'd say Illinois dominated from there.
From there, it was 94-62 Illinois.
Wow.
Illini scored 55 points in the second half. Iowa really got going in that second half. He ended up scoring 30 that night, and Kofi had 23 points. Most of that was in the first.
Yes.
And Penn State then at that point was trying to take Kofi away, and you're going to see that, I think, from the very get-go. I think every touch, as soon as he gets it inside, they're going to send the house at him. Mm-hmm. Now, Illinois has to – that's one of those things that you have to learn from. Kofi has to do a better job. We've talked about it a ton with the double team and that action around him, not putting the ball low, not power dribbling when you don't need to.
Right.
And then when you're not in a scoring position, you got to kick that back out. You got to be able to hit open threes, and you got to run some good actions. You got to cut off the ball too. Why not?
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be a three every single time passing out of the post. How about a backside cut?
Mm-hmm.
Those are some things that you'd like the Illini staff and team to be able to address. So this Penn State team is pretty poor defensively. They can score with you at times. It's just a matter of going out there and executing.
It's when I say this, I always feel, because the other day I felt like I was, well, yesterday, I felt like I was kind of talking bad or talking down about Kofi, and I'm not. I'd take him any day. If he wants to stay here another 2 years, I'm absolutely fine with Kofi, but it's something that I want to watch and see with this team to see if it gets better. Is playing in more of a rhythm, even with Kofi on the court. And the funny thing about that, Derek, is that Kofi, for a big man, runs the court very well. There have been a handful of times that I can remember that he beat his big man or another big man down the court and was able to score an easy bucket. But it's still one of those things when you get into that half-court offense. I mean, I'm fine with Illinois when they get out and go. And like you said yesterday, and perfectly said, that you be able to get transition, you got to make stops. So that's something that you can certainly help yourself with on the defensive end. But the flow of the offense in a half court with Kofi, and you touched on it there, with you don't always have to hit the three, doesn't always have to be a kick out three, but that's something that I wonder if this team has been working on, and something that I want to watch tonight to see if, you know, look, if you can get two easy buckets for Kofi underneath, great. The third time when they submerged down on him, now I want to see not only the good kickout pass, but also then in rhythm, other passes, other cuts. That's kind of what I'm going to be watching for tonight in this game.
Yeah, it's really important. And it's hard to argue against throwing the ball to that guy when you look in Big Ten play, shooting over 74%
right
in the field. And he went a perfect, I think, 7-for-7
wow
against Ohio State. It's just those turnovers that he had, some of the missed opportunities. And as we've talked about, the offense does tend to get stagnant at times where it's throw it in and let's wait and see what happens. Like to see maybe some more pick and roll action. That way Io can get downhill. Kofi's getting to that spot inside. If he's there, you dump it to him. Otherwise, Io has an opportunity to make a play too. And maybe just mixing it up offensively, doing some different things to where, okay, you don't want to get in a situation where, okay, this possession's Io's shot, this is Kofi's, and kind of
exactly
dictating that.
Exactly.
You want to have some movement and some variance there. I also wouldn't be surprised if Penn State plays a decent amount of zone. And that's something that Illinois, of course, was pretty terrible against in the first half against Northwestern, responded a lot better in that second half. Can they execute against the zone? Can they get it inside? Can they penetrate and kick? I didn't think that the guards against Ohio State in particular really did a good job of getting into the lane and making plays, and that's really important for Io to do, for Curbelo to do, and as we talked about yesterday, I'd love to see Adam make a couple of plays off the dribble.
Mm-hmm. Let's get right, man. Let's get it done. Let's get this sweep against Penn State. Start heading in the right direction with a big game against Iowa in the near future. We haven't heard any news about any other game being announced, right? Any non-con or anything?
Nothing to this point, no.
Okay, so that's where we're at. You know it's Penn State tonight, then you know you're into the grind with Iowa, your next game. So make sure you get this one. Get your 10th win of the year. You'd be 10-5. You'd be, I believe, 6-3 in the Big Ten. Still pretty good showing, don't get me wrong, but certainly not quite where you were hoping to be at this point.
No, it's not. When you're 9-5, 5-3, I know you're 10th in KenPom. You're still top 10 in the net, which is good. I mean, that's part of what the tournament committee looks at. But
sure,
let's be honest, losing back-to-back at home, and Ohio State's a good team. They're not 15th in the country, but still, you shouldn't lose that game. The Missouri loss, you got to be better, and you haven't faced the toughest part of your schedule yet. After Penn State, if the schedule holds, which
I don't think
there's going to be a week and a half in between this game and Iowa. Okay. They're either going to get moved up or something else is going to get slotted in there. But as it stands, Iowa at home, at Indiana, Wisconsin at home, at Michigan, next four after this one. So
Dial it up, baby.
You got to get right.
Dial it up. All right. Real quick before we take a break and get to Jeremy Warner, Baylor last night gets it done against Kansas. Pretty much kind of held about a 7 to 10 point lead for most of that game. I always say that's when you know that team is just that much better. When you get a team that consistently can maintain and kind of keep their arms out like Baylor did to Illinois, essentially. It looked good last night for Baylor. And Jared Butler, is that his name? 30 yep. points, 7 of 9 from the three-point line. I think he had 8 assists, probably some rebounds. Baylor showed last night that the Big 12, is that what it's called now? I lose track, is going to run through them this year and not Kansas.
Yep, it is 6-0 in the league. Kansas already has 3 losses in Big 12 play. So they were really outclassed from the very get-go. It got up to 16.
Yeah.
In the first half, Kansas battled back. I think you had Baylor in a teaser. But did you see the Bankin three that would have killed everyone that had Baylor -9 or -8.5 or whatever?
Because there was a dude in the right side. I saw Dan Dockage tweet. Some dude in the right side down on the court, like literally just like, no!
Right.
When it went in.
I love watching Baylor play, though.
Yeah.
They have great team chemistry, particularly on defense. Their effort level and just ability to switch. Like, they can, one guy can get beat, but there is just such a effortless rotation there. Mm. And you can tell that those guys have played together. They got a lot of athleticism as well. Illinois would kill to have Chamwa Chachua.
Oh, my.
The big guy from UNLV, a transfer. And I know we're looking at the transfer market after this season. We're not wishing this season away by any means.
Not at all.
To have something like that down low would be great. You and I both think that Baylor may be the best team in the country. I think they're going to the Final Four and could definitely win it all.
Now, I tell you, Baylor-Gonzaga national title game would be a really good game. Now, I hope Illinois is in there somewhere, but that would certainly be a game that you'd want to watch, Baylor and Gonzaga. That is the number one team, Gonzaga, number two team in Baylor. All right, Illinois picked up a commit, last night. Dwayne Johnson, not The Rock's son, but a linebacker, he is committed to play. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's a linebacker. Committed last night, a three-star 2021 linebacker. It just adds to this flurry of what's going on with Illinois football. It's hard to keep track. So when we come back, we're going to turn to Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer. He's the publisher of Illini Inquirer. We're going to get his thoughts on what Brett Bielema has done to hit the ground running, talk about all these guys that are coming back. The big news, Roderick Perry. Today, if you want to weigh in, you can do so at 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. That's the College of Aces text line. You can follow us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5. I'm at Lonte, ESPN-CU.
I'm at DPiper247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, stevyjay.com. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
Jeremy Warner next. It is The Drive.
I'm Brian Laird. I'm the pharmacy manager of OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center here in Urbana. One of the things with this vaccine is it has been proven to be safe and effective. One of the great things about the vaccine is that it's 95% effective for the Moderna and the Pfizer both so far. That's an amazing efficacy that we have. So that means it's going to work about 95% of the time. We all know that COVID fatigue is real. Even in my family, we experience it. We don't like wearing masks. We don't like being told that we can't eat at restaurants. We don't like not going to Illini games. We don't want this to continue. The way out of this is by getting the vaccine. The COVID fatigue is a real thing and hopefully it can be lessened, if not eliminated, by getting the vaccine in the coming months. The vaccine is something that we really want to stress is important. It's going to be our best shot to get out of this pandemic. If you have questions, I want to make sure that you have the right answers to those questions. So osfhealthcare.org is a great resource that you can turn to, osfhealthcare.org.
Game Day Spirits year-end clearance sale is now live and full of great deals for Illini Nation. Shop in either of their stores and take an additional 20% off of existing clearance items, or visit them online at gamedayspirit.com/sale to save 30% on great pieces from brands like Nike, Columbia, Champion, and more. Game Day Spirit is located at the corner of 6th and Green in Campustown, Neil and Kirby in Champaign, and is open online 24/7 at gamedayspirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop. If you need professional painters, look no further than Fresh Coat Painting. Locally owned Fresh Coat Painters of Champaign handle interior, exterior, residential, and commercial painting jobs. No matter how large or small, they take care of it with a genuine smile and with utmost courtesy. And they offer contact-free estimates and same as cash financing. For a contact-free estimate, just go to FreshCoatPainters.com. Stay local. Go with a professional painter you can trust. FreshCoatPainters.com.
Out here in the great outdoors, taking care of yards. Nothing like it. Listening to my favorite radio station between stops. Nobody looking over my shoulder. I work for Spring Green. I'm my own boss. Full-time health benefits, matching 401k, overtime, sales bonuses. I am the man.
Spring Green is looking for you. Want to work for the number one locally owned lawn service company in Central Illinois? Apply at spring-green.com or by calling 359-2111. That's 359-2111.
We're at the Train Heating and Air Conditioning Testing Facility to experience their infamous torture test firsthand.
Hi, Orin Kitten. This is cold. Okay, inside the system chamber, it's precisely 0 degrees. I'm surrounded by HVAC units covered in a layer of ice and snow, and they've neglected to give me a jacket. Tomorrow at noon, this room will be 130 degrees, which I definitely did not want to be around for. I get it now why they say it's hard to stop a train. Wait, anybody want to let me out?
Visit thecuservices.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Gold Jr. Catch Lonte and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It's The Drive with Tay and Piper Lonte. Derek Piper. Trevor Valise is here, but he's running around all crazy. College of Aces text line 359-2255. If you want to weigh in there, you can do that. We're going to hit the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World telephone line, and that is with Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher. How are you, buddy?
So I got the personal call from Lonte. Doing pretty good.
And I called it a telephone line. Is that, how old am I?
Over 50, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, thanks for the reminder on that one. It's like, hey, I want to start by saying on Illini Inquirer, you have been doing a wonderful job keeping up with this football news. I don't know how you're doing it. It is just, it's one thing after another. People probably wonder with you and Pipes, like, do you guys just sit there with your phone in one hand just waiting for the next thing to drop? I mean, that's basically what it's been since the Saturday morning when Coach Bielma was announced as the new head coach.
Yeah, throw Troy Wagner in there now, too.
Yeah, true.
That's the part about being media nowadays, Lon, is like you never just be able to turn it off because something can drop at any time, especially if you got so many coaching staff things going on, so many players making decisions. And now, Bielma getting into recruiting adds another one yesterday. So he's had a couple kids in the class of 2021. He's had a couple transfers, so certainly been a busy time, but he's certainly put an imprint on the program right away.
And we're going to get into that, but I've got to credit you on your recruiting prowess as well. You picked up a 5-star in Derek Piper years ago. Joey Wagner, a high 4-star, but when he was announced to Illini Inquirer, went to a 5-star. I mean, you're adding some good things here.
Oh, should we get the Ohio State bump? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Like, you get a 4-star, he goes immediately to a 5-star. I mean, that's what I hear from Illini fans all the time. Oh, we are pumped to get Joey. As Derek knows, it's been a long recruitment process with Joey. I was kind of sidetracked by a pandemic, but at the end of the day, we were able to sell him. So I was happy about that. He's doing fantastic work in what, the 9 days he's been with us.
Jeremy, here in recent days, we've seen Tony Adams, Owen Carney,
wow,
Roderick Perry all announced coming back. Isaiah Gay, throw that one in there as well. Is there one of those that maybe sticks out as the biggest or the one that means the most for Illinois going forward?
Well, I think it's fantastic they get all three of those guys back to go along with Jamal Woods. I kind of almost look at it as like the package deal, Derek, because Owen Carney obviously has produced the most, right? Like he had a breakout year last year, though. I mean, a lot of that was in one game. He had three of his five sacks. But, I mean, he turned into a quality Big Ten defensive end starter. He was kind of a rotational, solid player before that. But to kind of convince him to leave the portal is probably the biggest recruiting win that Brett Bielema has had during this, you know, cycle of bringing guys back. I don't think he had to convince Blake Hayes, James McCord, the offensive lineman that came back. Even a guy like Roderick Perry, I don't think he had to really convince much because I thought the best option for him was to come back. So I think Owen Carney was the best recruiting win, but Roderick Perry, to me, was probably the most consistent, disruptive guy up front last year. And, you know, if they didn't have him coming back, they rely on Jamal Woods, who has just struggled to stay healthy. They relied on Calvin Avery, who I thought had a good game against Penn State, but, you know, we're 3 years into his career and, you know, still waiting for him to live up to that four-star potential, get in great shape, right? Like, so I still don't know if we're ever going to see, you know, four-star impact from him, but I thought, you know, he showed signs late in the year. To get all four of those guys back and have a – I guess the way I would just sum all this up is to get 13 seniors back for another year, and I think 10 of them are starters on the offensive and defense side of the ball. It doesn't mean Brett Bielema is going to get to a bowl game in his first year, right? Because these were all players who were part of a team that went 2-6, were part of teams that weren't very good their first couple of years here, but they have so much experience and they give them a much higher floor going into next year. So if half these guys weren't coming back, I think Illinois guys was in for a very long first season under Brett Bielema and probably the worst team in the Big Ten West, maybe one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. Now, with these guys coming back and adding some guys in the transfer portal, I think Brett Bielema at least has a chance to have a good first season. Is that five wins? Is that a bowl game? I'm not sure. But I think he's got a chance to really compete in the Big Ten West. If there's a good coaching staff, they make the right coaching decisions. But he certainly has a much better talent base than he would have had if these seniors didn't decide to come back. And all it took was guys was a pandemic and a once in a lifetime, hopefully, NCAA eligibility ruling, but he gets some nice pieces from Lovie Smith's, you know, tenure back for another year on his roster. And if he can have a good first season, we've seen Jeff Brohm turn that into recruiting wins, turn that into some recruiting momentum. I think that's really important.
Was there anything that, in talking to these guys about Brett, that really led to these guys coming back? And I know a lot of them, especially those that may be thinking about the NFL, could use another year, could put more on tape. But was there anything that he maybe instilled and as far as the belief in him, the belief in the program going forward that you've gathered in talking to them?
Well, I think the one thing with Brett is he comes in, like Lovie did a little bit, with credibility. Only Brett comes in with credibility as a college coach, right? Like, he's won in the Big Ten. But I think the thing that really resonated with those guys from talking to all of them over the last couple of weeks is the personality, the passion he has. This is going to be a different kind of program. You know, like there were some times where, you know, you hear from people now and, you know, Lovie, you know, kept things close to the vest even with people in the program, right? Like, you didn't see as much passion out of him. You didn't see as much intensity out of him. They're going to get that from their head guy. Plus, I think he's got a plan for all these guys, and he showed them he cares about them. He cares about this place, and he wore his emotions on his sleeve. He got emotional from what I hear during the team meeting. So I think they needed this breath of fresh air. And from everything I hear, guys, if Lovie would have been kept, there probably would have been more players leaving the program.
Wow.
While Bielema comes in here, and you've barely had anybody of major consequence that's entered the transfer portal. You know, Casey Washington could have competed for a starting spot at wide receiver, but I don't know if I would have penciled him in as a starter. But other than that, you know, you get Owen Carney back, and you've lost a couple depth pieces like Trayvon Sidney and Kenyon Sims who haven't made a big impact. But, you know, Pratt was able to give these guys kind of a breath of fresh air, and I think he's given fans a breath of fresh air. But he obviously has said the right things to them, and he certainly has said the right things on the outside too.
Amen. Follow Jeremy Warner on Twitter. You already do that. It's at JWarner247. So many questions we could ask about the two commits from high school, Joshua McCray. Last night we hear about Dwayne Johnson. What else do you think needs to be done? In terms of actual scholarships, you may know the number. I don't know how you keep up with it, but what do you think will be done between now and when that cycle ends, you think?
What I think you have going on at the same time on is you have, you know, Brett kind of adding some 2021 pieces who fit his long-term future and kind of tell you a little bit about, like, how they're going to change. Like, Josh McCray is 6'2", 225. Mm. He's got pretty good speed, but he's a big running back. You know, like the biggest running back Illinois has had the last couple of years is Ravon Bonner. And Ravon's 5'11", 220.
Right.
This kid's 6'2", 230, right? And and they can line him up all over the place, whether it's running back and just have that big running back who can do those things. They can line him up in the slot because he's got good speed, he's got good hands. So just a different kind of, you know, element to their backfield. But then a kid like Dwayne Johnson, he goes by DJ, not The Rock, but he's 6'4", 225 pounds. Mm. And he said they've recruited him kind of as their Jack linebacker. So that's a new term that I've heard under Brett Bielema. But it tells you he's going to be a 3-4 outside linebacker or some kind of, you know, defensive end slash linebacker. So I think at some point you're going to see a three-man front with, you know, possibly 3-4, possibly 3-3-5, but I do think you're going to get a change in that defensive scheme. But then you've seen on, you know, the transfer market that Brett's added more talent to his running back room.
Sure.
With Chase Aden, who was a former 4-star prospect and, you know, had some early success at Arkansas under Bielema, but then, you know, had some injuries that set him back both at Arkansas and ECU. You get Max Rosenthal, this fullback slash tight end H-back from Michigan State, who had some physicality and somebody who can kind of play that H-back role right away. When the last time we saw fullbacks was probably Zach Becker and Jay Prosh,
right,
a decade ago for Illinois. So That tells you how their offense is going to be a little bit different. And then they added linebackers because, boy, they need linebackers. Calvin Hart Jr., C.J. Hart, add him from NC State. He played for Dave Doran, who, you know, obviously comes from the Brett Bielema tree at Wisconsin. So kind of plays a similar style. So they need more, though. If they're going to compete in 2021, they need wide receivers.
Yes.
You start looking at the wide receiver depth chart, and Brian Hightower, I think, can be pretty good. We know Donnie Navarro can give you some production. But after that, guys, we're looking at guys like Dale Von Campbell, Desmond Dan. Is he ever going to hit the field? I'm not quite sure.
Right.
James Frenchie, Kyron Cumbie, young guys. They need some wide receivers in the transfer portal, and there's some guys they're looking at there. But also, you could use a defensive back. A couple guys you're looking at, Houston Griffith. I know everyone wants to know about Notre Dame. He could stay at Notre Dame. I know Illinois is in the mix there. Could be harder to get. But one guy to watch is Alabama defensive back, Eddie Smith. I had an update on him today on the site. Illinois seems to be doing really, really well with him. And then they could also use more linebackers because all the guys that are coming back are basically out for the spring due to season-ending injuries. So you could probably use a middle linebacker to replace Jake Hansen. And maybe another one after that, just to give you a little bit more depth, and maybe an edge rusher just to, you know, kind of make this transition to a defense. I don't know if they're going to go, you know, straight to what Brett and Ryan Walters want to do with a three-man front this year, but they obviously need some changes to upgrade a defense that was the worst in the Big Ten West last year.
Great stuff, and obviously still a lot to do. You mentioned Houston Griffith. Of course, that's Howard Griffith's son. And I don't know, I mean, as an Illini fan, you always hate to lose a recruit, but, you know, you see it and you think, okay, it's Howard Griffith's son. He was an Illini star, and it's too bad we're not going to get him. Now he goes to Notre Dame. If they're able to pull him not only from Notre Dame, but also from everybody else that wants him, what would that say to Illini fans about how Brett Bielema and this staff are doing this?
I think it would be a statement, that's for sure. They were in on another kid that Illinois fans know, Dele Adeoye.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
right,
didn't work out. Not for reasons for Dele or Illinois reasons, but just didn't work out. But I think it would be a statement. It's certainly someone fans know. You know, Lovie Smith made something like that with Luke Ford. So
good, yeah,
I
good
wouldn't
point.
Say, like, oh, my gosh, you and Houston Griffith are going to get all the in-state kids, right? Like, but I do think Brett has done and said the right things to in-state prospects. He's offered a kid like Hank Bailey out of Rochester that I thought, man, that kid probably wants to play at Illinois, probably has enough talent to play at Illinois. plays at one of the best programs in the state. Why wouldn't you offer that kid a scholarship? Why wouldn't you recruit him, right?
Correct.
At worst, he's going to probably be in the rotation as an upperclassman and, you know, could be a really good program guy. At best, he could be a guy that leaves your program with 150 receptions or more, right?
Like, nice.
So I like that they made that offer, but he's not going to fix all of that overnight. You know, Illinois is eventually going to have to win football games. But I do think, Brett, whether it's getting in on these transfers, you know, getting in on some of these recruits, even though they're out of state, like McCray or Johnson, it does tell you that, you know, he can be pretty convincing. And the one thing I've learned here pretty quickly is Brett is very involved in the recruiting process, which is a huge change, guys. Covering Lovie Smith for 5 years, he would get involved with certain guys, of course, but Brett is all involved. Like, he basically closed on some of these transfers and McCray all by himself. Started the group and closed on it mostly all by himself outside of the administrative stuff they had to do. But he is very involved with these recruitments, and he does a good job of getting them to close pretty quickly. So I do think your head coach now is helping you on the recruiting trail.
Right.
Because I do think Illinois has some good recruiters on the staff. The assistants have done a pretty good job so far. But the head coach is the one who's got to close the deal most of the time. But I think Illinois has got a closer in Brett Bielema. So I don't think you're going to see many prep classes below 50 in the country with Brett Bielema. I don't know if they'll be top 25 guys, but I think you're going to have pretty good recruiting classes under Brett Bielema.
Jeremy, you mentioned the importance of adding a receiver. You lose Bebe to the NFL. Trayvon Sidney hit the portal. And then we just learned yesterday, Casey Washington also hitting the portal, which I guess makes sense with Hayes Stoker not returning. But was he in particular a big loss in your opinion?
Well, for me, it's at least somebody you know could play at
right.
this level. I don't know if, you know, he's the guy you want as your starter. I think they need to upgrade that regardless. Like I think Brian Hightower can be a very good Big Ten wide receiver. I think he was tied for the team lead in touchdowns, by the way. And I thought they needed to use him a little bit more last year, to be honest with you. But I think Hightower can be a quality Big Ten starter. I'm not quite sure if Casey Washington was that, but I do know he was better than the guys who weren't playing behind him. And now all of a sudden you got to replace those guys too. So that is the weakest position on the offense right now. The good thing is you have good running backs, you have good tight ends, you at least have an experienced offensive line, and I think a pretty solid offensive line. You have a quarterback who's experienced that has to get better, but you got to get guys who can get separation. So for me,
amen.
I think Hightower, Ford, Barker, those guys are big physical targets. They got to get people who can get separation. So, you know, take the top off of defense, get the ball on a screen pass and make people miss. And I think there will be some guys like that in the portal. One guy I'm interested in, I don't know if Illinois is going to get him or not, but Jafar Armstrong out of he's transferring out of Notre Dame is a really interesting name to me. So I could use two wide receivers, but they definitely need one. And I think a slot wide receiver is just as important as a guy on the outside.
Yeah.
Jeremy, now that we've seen all the position coaches hired, we had Ryan Walters on our show. I just curious your general thoughts on just Brett's ability to put together a staff. I think Bart Miller's the best interview, maybe the O-line coach
they're all
position.
Awesome.
What do you kind of think of the guys that he was able to attract and kind of put the pieces together?
Yeah, Bart's a little bit different than the previous offensive line coaches, like Professor Bob McClain and Luke Buckus used to just try and get out a bike and escape the media. Wasn't a big fan of us. But no, I think the one thing you notice is, boy, is the big change. Because all of these guys outside of Ben Miller, the tight ends coach, and he was at Air Force for 14 years, so under Troy Calhoun, is a pretty good coach. All of these guys have Power 5 coaching experience, right? These aren't, you know, guys that you're taking from a grad assistant role. These are guys, you know, even if you're not taking from a high school role or, you know, the FCS level, these are guys who have Power 5 coaching experience. But I also think it's pretty balanced staff. Like, you know, Brett Bielema is a defensive mind. He hires a younger defensive coordinator, but I think people focus too much on Ryan Walters' age. He's got a lot of experience as a defense coordinator.
Sure.
Power 5 institution, had a lot of success. I don't think he needs his hand held by Andy Boo, who's the linebackers coach, who's been a coordinator at 5 FBS schools, but it's nice to have that kind of guy there. But also you got some young go-getters like Terrence Jamerson, who is a defensive line coach at a Big Ten university, is from the state. You get a DBs coach who coached at Power 5 institutions, who's also a former player for Brett Bielema, just like Jameson. So that defensive staff, I think, makes a lot of sense. They know Bielema. They're young. They're energetic recruiters. And then you had a guy like Andy Boo, who's got so much experience at Power 5 level. The offensive side, you know, Tony Peterson really intrigues me.
Yeah.
Given his experience, I don't think he was like the big name hire that Illini fans, the sexy hire Illini fans were looking for, but he is very experienced. So I'm interested to see what he puts together. But Bart Miller is I think, a great hire. Everyone I talk to, they think he's a superstar. In-state guy, he's already gotten on the trail here and done a really good job for Illinois and, is reaching out really well. Corey Patterson, I thought, was a slam dunk. I thought you had to keep him.
Yes.
Not only, guys, is he a good recruiter, and I think he could do better with a more energetic coach behind him closing the deal, but the players love him. Like Owen Carney talked about, Corey Patterson was involved in keeping him here. And I know when those guys have gone through some issues, they've gone to Corey. It's a coach they trust, and I think it's nice to have a little bit of a guy who, was well-liked on the staff, well-liked at the university, well-liked on the recruiting trail, to keep a little bit of stability there. And I'm interested to see who they get as a wide receivers coach. That's usually a big-time recruiting position, but also a position, as we were talking about, Illinois needs a lot of work with. And then, does he add a special teams coordinator? Does he add an outside linebacker / defensive ends coach? He's got two more spots here. I'm really interested to see what he does because I know he's still got a lot of money there to work with.
Jeremy Warner, we're going to let you go, but I got to get one basketball in. It's nice when you can go to a game and know the Piper's doing all the work. You can kind of just sit back and relax. What are you looking for out of this Illinois
team? That's not really how that goes, by the way.
I mean, a loss to Maryland, a loss to Ohio State. What do you want to see, not maybe just tonight, but what are you wanting to see out of this Illinois basketball team in the near future?
I know Derek's used this line before, but I'm sick of hearing we are the hunted, okay?
Yeah.
You got to go hunt now.
Right.
Like, you have not proven anything, right? Like, I thought this team was going to be great, and I still think they can be at the end of the season. But they have too much swagger for a team that hasn't won anything
Good
yet,
call.
Right? Like, it doesn't matter that you were ranked top 10 in the preseason. That doesn't guarantee anything. Like, you lost Andres Felice. You lost Alan Griffin. You got to make up for that. You can't just walk into the Big Ten and beat anybody. And I mean anybody in the Big Ten. Even Nebraska, whenever you play them. So they can't just sit there and sleepwalk in 20 minutes or 10 minutes and expect to win basketball games. And they should know better than that. Like, Io DeSumo, Kofi Coburn, Devontae Williams, I'll throw into that, and team captain, Trent Frazier. All these guys should know better than that. Like, I expect Andre Crivello to go through some ups and downs and Adam Miller to go through some ups and downs. That's going to happen.
Sure.
But those guys have to bring the intensity every night. I am shocked that a team with so much experience that won last year partly because they were so hungry to win, I'm shocked that Brad Underwood's had a coach effort. Now, Brad maybe overestimated that his team needed to do that. And some of these, come-from-behind wins, I didn't love his message that, hey, we got this in the back of the mind that we could do that. I thought the message should have been, guys, we can't keep doing this.
Exactly.
Because we can do it against Northwestern. We can do it against Penn State. We can't do it against Ohio State. That proved to be true. You couldn't even do it against Maryland. So it just leaves you such low margin for error that Illinois shouldn't be down 15 in the first half to anybody in the country.
Correct.
So, that's it. I just want to see their bark match the bite, right? Like, because they've talked. And I thought they deserved to talk a little bit because of what they did last year. But it's time to back it up on the court. Now, they had a nice start, 4-game win streak, 5-2. But I would hope this has been humbling for them because the Big Ten's tough, guys. And Iowa's really good. Those teams at the top are really good. But every game was really, really tough. And I'm surprised they needed to learn that after what happened last year. But I do think what last year showed us is these guys can turn the season around. Brad Underwood and his staff can make the adjustments needed to turn a season around, but it doesn't get any easier. You got to start tonight.
And
I would hope they come out from the start. And I think a lot of fans are looking for a game where they step on Penn State right away and don't let up.
Good stuff, Jeremy Warner. Keep it up when it comes to the football. It is a must-click right now with basketball in the midst of things. Football and Brett Bielema making news almost every day. Illini Inquirer, he is the publisher. You can follow him on Twitter, at JWarner247. As always, I miss you. You be safe and tell the family hi, and I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
See you all. See you, Dave.
All right, buddy. That is Jeremy Warner. I like that, and you've used that plenty of times. Okay, guys, I think now it's time for you to maybe go out with that thought of maybe we should go out and try to get a victory instead of trying to act like, well, it's ours. They're just hungrier than us. Go out and get one tonight.
Yeah, man. I'm there. I've said it a bunch. I'm tired of hearing the hunted, tired of hearing we get everybody's best shot. It's the Big Ten. People go at each other. They come to play each and every night. That's what it takes. That's what it takes to get to that level. Just put everything aside. Put the rankings aside. KenPom, preconceived. This is who we're supposed to be. Yes. Even the talk of, like, look, we know when we play, no one can stop us. That's an okay mentality to have, sure. I guess. But at the same time, it's like, go prove it.
Yeah.
You got to prove a lot here. And 9-5 right now, I mean, you haven't proved a whole lot.
No.
There's a lot of season left to fix that. But there should be no feelings of being satisfied with anything right now.
When we come back, Trent Frazier will hear. He met today with you guys, and we'll hear some audio from Trent. We're also going to go around the world of Big Ten basketball. A couple of games going on tonight besides Illinois, so we'll get to that. Now, Derek, when it comes to cheesy things, and I think your mom's going to be up for this because she loves when I go 1980s music. When it comes to cheesy, Lana's not done much more than Duran Duran, Hungry Like the Wolf. Yeah! Be the hunter! It doesn't get any cheesier! Lost in the crowd.
No crowd.
Hungry like the wolf. All right, this is my bad. This is cheesy. It's my fault. Little Duran Duran, man. They ever got enough credit for as good as they are. I like their sound. There you go, Illinois.
Guarantee all the texts during the commercial break.
You think Brad Underwood's playing this one in the locker room tonight? Hey, boys, want to leave you with a little Duran Duran before you take the court. Hungry Like the Wolf. I can just see everybody going, what is this? All right, we're back to drive. Oh, Lon.